But on the situation in South Sudan, we followed up with Manyang David Mayar. Manyang works with BBC Media Action. It's a charity organization that's based in Juba, the capital of South Sudan. He fled there from the town of Bor back in December. I asked him how difficult it is for the hundreds of thousands of people now flocking to refugee camps in Ethiopia, Uganda, Kenya, and in Juba to get water.
I am one of the people who drank very, very dirty water of the flood in Jonglei State. There's no way you can find clean drinking water all over the country, of course. That is a wide truth. And it is very, very difficult for these refugees to get clean drinking water. In Awerial, for example, where I lived also, people were drinking water directly from the Nile. That is why a lot of diseases were contracted by mostly children, and many, many numbers of children died because of drinking the dirty water directly from the Nile.
What are the challenges to getting clean drinking water in that area, whether it's a rural village or even a refugee camp?
We cannot forget that South Sudan is a new country, and water infrastructures were not put in place even before the crisis started. There was no source of clean drinking water for everybody in the country. Even in Juba City, most of the people are drinking directly from the river. Even in the areas where there are no insecurity, there is completely no clean drinking water for everybody in the country.
So we're hearing that the chaos in South Sudan means that people aren't able to plant crops, and that could actually lead to a significant shortage of food, maybe even as early as the end of this year. Is that true?
Exactly. The crisis that started has actually interrupted the agriculture in the country. There are no many people now farming their lands. There are no many people in the villages who are cultivating their land to deliver food to the market or even for their own consumption. So what was predicted by the president when he spoke to BBC was that there will be famine in the country this year because a lot of people who are actually food providers or food generators or food producers are not doing anything in the country. They were displaced, and instead of making their own food, they are now depending on humanitarian aid to get food. And in other areas, humanitarian aid reaching to where they are is really very, very difficult. So there is, of course, going to be famine in the country if things remain the way they are now. It is predicted, and it will happen. And it is happening now that there is food shortage in the country.
You haven't just been reporting this story. You've been living it. You had to flee your own village. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it was on the date 18th of December. I was forced to leave my house. I was living in Bor town. So I was forced to leave to the bush. And I stayed in a makeshift camp for about 2 weeks. We were going out to ease ourselves in the water, in the flood waters, and we were drinking from the same waters. I was forced to sleep there under open skies, without ceiling, without roofs, and in the cold of December in South Sudan, and it was really very painful.
When you're living in the bush, when you're fleeing for your life, what do you eat? What do you drink?
I know what it means to go to the bush. So I carried along some beans with me, and we were surviving on those beans for some days. Our beans got finished, so luckily enough, there were some fishermen around. We ran to the bush near the River Nile. So the fishermen were bringing out some fish from the river. So we were buying those fish for survival. So both beans and fish made me what I am today.
That was Manyang David Mayar on the impending famine in South Sudan.